It is always a joy when I visit churches and have the opportunity to fill the pulpit to see how long the passing of the peace lasts. And so you can tell that this is a church that loves one another and enjoys that opportunity to greet one another and to share a word of Christian fellowship. So again, it is a joy to be with you all. Let us pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was a kid, my mom would always nag me about writing thank you notes. After every birthday or Christmas, it seemed that mom would pester me and pester me about writing those notes. Eventually, I would be placed at the dining room table with a stack of thank you cards, a pen, and a list of who to thank for what. The cards were always the same formula. "Dear family member, thank you so much for the blank." It was exactly what I wanted. "I am excited to play or read or wear your gift. Thank you again. Love, John." It was such a chore, and it didn't seem to make a difference at all. It was what you had to do to be proper, good manners and all. Although there was one year when I didn't send a note to an aunt who really paid attention, and then the next year my birthday card from her was a little lighter, only including some nice wishes and her signature. As an adult, I've really grown to appreciate the thank you card. It only started a few years ago when a new coworker would send thank you notes for what seemed like every little thing. And ultimately, I really appreciated it and decided that I needed to adopt a similar practice. Maybe there was something to mom's nagging after all. So a few years ago, I had a milestone birthday party and many of my friends and family came. And afterwards, I sent thank you notes to all the folks who came or sent cards or gifts. My mother received a card and was so surprised. My friends wondered if something was wrong with me. We had never sent Hallmark cards to one another before. Was I sick or dying, they joked. But it felt good to give thanks, to share my gratitude with those who I hold dear and who play a special role in my life. In the gospel lesson for today, we encounter a story centered around this theme of gratitude and giving thanks. We find Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem, which is where Luke introduces a number of stories and parables that are unique to this gospel and that focus on a theme of discipleship. We also hear that he is between Samaria and Galilee. And the last time Luke brought a Samaritan into the story, he shocked us with the foreigner being the protagonist and the one whose example we are to emulate in the story of the Good Samaritan. So what is Luke going to do this time? We hear that Jesus enters a village, and 10 lepers cry it out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And without even touching them, Jesus extends mercy to them and tells them, "Go show yourselves to the priest so that you may be declared clean." Believing him, they run, skip, and jump to the priest to be declared clean. But one stops. One recognizes that he was healed, turns around, and praises God in a loud voice. He turns to say thank you. He lays down at Jesus' feet and thanks him. And he was a Samaritan. There's Luke bringing in a Samaritan. Once again, the Samaritan, the outsider, the foreigner is the one Luke is using to teach us something about discipleship. And it could be something as simple as making sure that we disciples remember to write our thank you notes, to remember to be sure that we say thanks to God for our food and our home and our family. But of course, there's more to it than just that. There's more to the story than just saying thanks. In verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" People tend to hear that passage with an edge of scolding to the 9 who went to the priest. Maybe they hear their mother's nagging voice reminding them to write the thank you note. But Jesus is not wagging the finger or being dismissive by referring to the Samaritan as this foreigner. Was none of them found to return and give praise to God? Those 9 who were Galileans and good Jews, did none of them think about this opportunity to give their praise to God? Not so much about thanking Jesus for the act, but giving praise to God as the source of that healing. To be honest with you, I can understand how they might forget. They've been living as a community of lepers, outcasts, exiled from the rest of society. And they were about to be reunited with their family and friends. I can easily see how they'd be distracted and not thinking about saying thank you. They're thinking about the home cooking they've missed, catching up with what's been going on in the neighborhood, sleeping in their own bed. They're probably thinking of the parties their family will throw, hopefully, or would their families welcome them back at all? Would they be able to just quietly bring them in through the back door? Could they go back to their jobs? Would people really accept them back after they've been outcast, treated with such disgust and disdain? I'm sure these and a million other thoughts were crossing through their minds, and eventually they would come around to thanking God for making them clean. But the Samaritan's response was not to think about these things, but it was to stop and immediately praise God and thank Jesus. I think Jesus directed his question about the other 9 men to the wind, maybe thinking out loud, not really expecting an answer, but his next statement he directs to the Samaritan. Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. In the Samaritan, Jesus is not just trying to teach us about giving thanks. He's teaching his disciples, teaching us about the nature of faith and what it means to live a life of faith. There are 3 phrases used to refer to the health of the men with leprosy, including our Samaritan. In verse 14, they were made clean. In verse 15, the Samaritan saw that he was healed. And now here, Jesus is saying that the Samaritan's faith has made him well. And the word well may actually be a little bit of a weak translation. The King James Bible translates it, it has made you whole. And the Message interpretation decides that one word won't even do it justice. It reads, your faith has healed and saved you. So this phrase carries a little more weight than just the physical health of the Samaritan. The same phrase is actually used again about being made well when Jesus encounters the hemorrhaging woman who believed she could be healed by just touching his garment. And in both of these encounters, everyone believes that Jesus can heal them. But Jesus credits faith to the Samaritan who not only believes, but who also responds to Christ's merciful action with praise and gratitude. This response reflects a life of faith, a life which is characterized by not just one act of thanksgiving, but by daily choices which recognize God as the giver of all good things. Not just one act of praise, but by daily choices which proclaim that no matter what life throws my way, I will choose to say thank you, God, trusting that God will provide in all circumstances. Out at Cedar Creek, we have a tremendous opportunity to serve children of all ages in both our overnight summer camp program and in our traveling day camp program. And through Bible study, worship, and the simple act of living together in community for a week, we try to teach and model for the campers what discipleship looks like. And one of the facets of discipleship that we emphasize is that of gratitude. Campers share in a sung blessing before each meal. They often write thank you notes to members of the camp community at the end of the week. Campers are often nervous about praying in a Bible study or in worship, and we teach them that one of the easiest prayers to offer is to simply list the things that we are grateful to God for. Gratitude is quite simple. It's about recognizing and responding. We recognize that God is the source of all good in this world, the giver of all that we hold dear, the one who loves us and showers blessings upon us. All that we have is from God. And we respond. We respond with praise. We respond by thanking God in song and prayer. We respond by giving back a portion of what we have received. Gratitude is when we live a life of faith like the grateful leper. We recognize that God loves us, that God answers our prayers, and we respond with praise and thanksgiving. It is about recognizing God's role in our world and our lives and responding accordingly. Whether that's volunteering with mission efforts at the church, helping to teach Bible study, giving dollars to help the church further its mission in the community and beyond. Gratitude is an important part of discipleship and a life of faith. So, like the grateful leper, having faith means living our faith, and living our faith is marked by giving thanks and using those opportunities for gratitude as moments to truly offer our thanks and praise to God, not just uttering words, but really living them. In recent years, it's become a trend to take time to give thanks on a daily basis. There's devotional books, there's calendars, there's the focus on this practice. I've even noticed it on Facebook and social media. And so a lot of my friends were taking a whole month to name something that they were thankful for each day. And each day, a new status update or a post with what they were thankful for. And truthfully, I thought it got old really quick. I was tired of hearing people say, "Today I'm thankful for." It seemed forced and formulaic. It seemed like they fell into the trap that I often fall into, where I give thanks to God before a meal just because that's what I'm supposed to do, not recognizing God's creativity in providing us with so many tasty foods, not recognizing God's providential care in providing farmers and farm workers with the ability to grow and care for the food I eat, and not recognizing God's grace in making it possible for me to have a way to provide these for my family so that my children are not hungry. But maybe that was just me being cynical to something more important going on. I wasn't naming or counting my blessings along with them. I was just an observer. Maybe that simple act of naming something every day to be grateful for can make a big difference. Beyond the Bible, there's all sorts of evidence suggesting the importance of saying thank you, for being grateful, for stopping and counting our blessings. But there have been numerous psychological and medical studies done that support this idea that grateful people live lives of reduced stress, improved immune systems, and happier dispositions. So maybe my mother was right after all when she forced me to write those thank you notes. Practicing intentional gratitude can certainly make a difference in our health and in our relationship with God. As faithful disciples, we recognize that at all times, we have a reason to give thanks to God, even if all that we have left is the air in our lungs. We respond as the body of Christ together and give witness to the abundant love and generosity of the God of all creation. As Christians, as Easter people, we recognize that as bleak as Good Friday looked, that was not the end of the story. That the gift offered to us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the one that we can always respond to with thanksgiving and praise. And we know that no matter what life throws our way, we have much to be grateful for, including the most important gift of God's grace and salvation. Beyond being grateful individuals, what does gratitude mean for our life together, as a church, as a community of faith? What does being a grateful congregation look like? I think worship changes when we approach it as an opportunity to give thanks and praise. Stewardship changes from fundraising to an opportunity to praise God and to give thanks as joyful givers. Mission changes from charity to an opportunity to praise God by being the hands, the feet, and the voice of Christ in the world today. The Christian response to God should be one of gratitude. Gratitude for the gift of life, gratitude for friends and family, gratitude for our world, and gratitude for God's love in Jesus Christ, for the gift of wholeness and wellness that come with knowing our Savior. May we recognize God's gifts and blessings in our lives. May we respond with gratitude and praise. And may our prayer as disciples be like writer Anne Lamott's two favorite prayers. In the morning, help me, help me, help me. And at night, thank you, thank you, thank you. And to God be all glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Let us now stand together and sing hymn number 649, We Give Thee But Thine Own, in the hymnal.